Commodity broker Gordy Kolovits with Chido Commodities joins us for the weekly ag market recap. And Gordy, it was sure on the way to being a disastrous week. We had to dodge a lot of bullets, the USDA supply demand report, but the biggest one was apparently the Federal Reserve and Chairman Powell's comments that really took us out at the knees after the USDA report on Wednesday.
Yeah, that was kind of the killer, was, you know, his comments, especially the ones on Tuesday, where he was talking about rates could be a lot higher and go up a lot faster than what the market's been counting on. And, again, Wall Street doesn't like that. But, you know, if you have time over the weekend, pull up a Treasury bond chart. Bonds have been going up since the second and third of the month, so and going up sharply. And right now they're over a key moving average, which would imply there's more upside potentially to this stuff. And the way it works is as bond prices go up, interest rates are going down. So real-world market-based interest rates have actually gone downhill over the last couple of weeks. And all the market is fixated on is the Fed raising interest rates going forward. But again, keep in mind, the big Wall Street players like a Goldman Sachs or, you know, those kind of players, they can borrow money from the Fed. So for them, it is a concern because instead of getting free money, they actually have to pay for it now, which makes deals harder to do when you actually have a real rate of return. So that's what they're throwing a tantrum about. But in the real world, it's not that bad. But it's the markets trade what they trade. And so like in the case of grains today, corn is actually putting in a reversal day. We did make a new low for the move. We're currently up 6 and 3 quarters going into the close. So they should settle pretty close to the high, within a penny or so of the high. Beans came back, closing down 3 and 3 quarters or thereabouts. And again, that puts them about 9 cents off the low. And the wheat, the big winner after having, of course, a disastrous week, up 26 in KC, 13 in Minneapolis, and 17 in Chicago. And, I mean, but again, same sort of difference. You look at a chart of KC wheat, and you look at the break it had. What's kind of impressive, though, is you know, this is where we closed basically on Monday. So we had 3 consecutive down days and then made a new low today and came all the way back up to close pretty much above where we closed on Monday. So that's a pretty impressive daily reversal in the wheat. And again, wheat yesterday was as cheap as it was in July of 2021, almost a 2-year low. So I just think some of the stuff is getting way too cheap. And you look at the break that corn had, pretty monumental break off its highs. I mean, back end of February, on the 21st of Feb, we were trading at 682.5. And this morning, we get down to 606.75. I mean, nothing really changed in the real world. I mean, we didn't have a sell-off based on a forecast change in Argentina. You know, we didn't see China canceling a big bunch of orders or anything. It was just nothing changed from yesterday until this morning, other than supposedly funds came in and just belly flopped on the thing.
And the USDA report on Wednesday, it came out and the market kind of yawned. And I thought, whew, we got through that one. All at once by the close, we were down 7, and it was even worse on Thursday.
And again, the actual results were friendly. They expected the bean carrot to drop by 10. It dropped by 15, a little better than expected. They were looking for the wheat to go up a little bit. It stayed unchanged. The corn carry did go up about 40 million more, but then they cut Argentina by almost 200 million more. So the net-net, you know, we dropped a bunch more corn than we gained here in the U.S. They dropped Argentina beans more than expected. And, you know, so, I mean, most of the key numbers were actually neutral to friendly. And that's where the report really had no significant action. But funds like to sell reports unless they're really friendly. And that was enough to give them some momentum. And after already being down hard, it just looked like it was another get-me-out play.
Now, you alluded to it from the technical side then, like the corn and wheat. The charts look really good now after a disastrous week.
Yeah, I mean, we're going home, you know, looking halfway alive, which is, you know, the way it looked for the rest of the week, not so great. Beans, they're kind of stuck in the middle of the range. Didn't do anything technically today that was exciting, and we'll see how that goes. And again, bean oil just continues to get pummeled. You know, that was one where, again, we had more good news. We had Malaysian palm oil exports were up 42% for the first 10 days of the month. You know, Brazil's going to increase their bioethanol to 36%. Up by 36%. So, I mean, you know, Indonesia is raising their biodiesel to 35%. So, I mean, a lot of good news in the veg oil stuff, and they just pounded the daylights out of bean oil, closing on a new low, and that probably looks the worst. And that's why it would be really interesting to have a commitment of traders to see how aggressively short the funds maybe are in this market. But the good news is we are getting new commitment of traders now. They are moving forward. But the thing is, we're only getting 2 weeks at a time. So we're up to, I think, like March 1st for commitment of traders. So it's going to, you know, so for every week we go forward, we're only going to gain a week. So it'll be 4 weeks or more before we actually get caught up. And so it'll be middle of April before we actually get close to where we're really sitting. So there's a lot of finagle factor between here and there, it looks like.
Well, I read a number of analysts saying it's been massive fun selling, and I'm thinking, so how can anybody say that? How would you know when we aren't getting the commitment of traders reports? And even normally, we get the commitment of traders report Friday afternoon as of the previous Tuesday. So that's already many weeks grossly outdated in terms of relevance for the market. And it's like, how can they can't give us that every day with today's technology and computers? You can't tell me they can't do that.
No. This is a news article on Dow Jones from 12/16, so about an hour ago, talking about how the lower dollar supports higher grains and talking about how it's helping support giving a technical bounce to wheat and beans and corn. Here's the quote. Finally seeing the markets absorb the heavy fund selling in the morning session. That's according to the analyst. You know, with a higher close in corn and wheat, it would represent a technical reversal and could give us a bounce. So, I mean, again, he's using the phrase heavy fund selling for the, you know, and you see that over and over again. And like I said, I guarantee you when the commitment of traders comes out, it'll have the fund still net long a bunch. They just never get short. It hasn't added up in 20 some years, and I don't expect it to start adding up anytime soon, but it's the world we live in. And, you know, the funds, like I say, if you look at that CFTC commitment of enforcement action, CFTC enforcement actions, and pick a year, these funds are getting fined for all manner of infractions, but, you know, it's relatively minor. It's $250,000 here, $100,000 there. And for a $1 billion fund that's raking in tens of millions, it's probably cheaper than hiring an accountant or, you know, even a lowly paid intern to do some of the junk that they're doing. So they just let it slide.
How about the livestock this week?
Well, it's been an interesting week there. You look at the cattle, they started off the week on a strong note. Popped up right off the bat on Monday, actually made a new high for the move. And as we've seen before, every time they seem to make a new high, it's the kiss of death. And they've been down 4 days in a row since, and they're right back down on a key moving average and actually closed just a hair below it. You know, cash market doesn't seem like it's doing anything exciting, but it is seem slowly but steadily firming up. But again, the dynamic is how high can you drag, you know, cash prices at the retail level. So right now, the packers still making a lot of money, and you know, the cash seems to be firmer, but again, the futures got nailed on a new high and spent 4 days getting pushed back. Chart-wise, it doesn't really do much. It looks like we're still in the channel. We're still drifting higher, but just another week where, you know, new highs got sold. Hogs, on the other hand, started off the week, you know, they were under pressure last week, started off the week kind of wimpy on Monday. As the cattle went up, they sold the hogs off. But then as the cattle went down a week, the hogs went up. And today, hogs had a big up day. So they broke out over a key moving average. They've got kind of a weird, funky head and shoulders, if you squint at it, kind of chart formation. And the hogs actually came off looking halfway decent by the end of the week. Had a big congestion area where an awful lot of people, you know, if you look at that band between 84 and 86 cents in those April hogs, a lot of guys were playing there. And all the guys that are short are suddenly on the losing side of that trade. So we'll see how we go next week, but right now it's one of those situations where it looks like if the hogs can get a little higher, you might have an awful lot of shorts deciding this may not be a good play. So hogs might be one to watch for next week if they can follow through. The scary bit, the Dow is now down 350. It was down over 500 here a little while ago, and I mentioned earlier that we were happy the market wasn't doing much. Well, it broke since then, but now it's coming back, so a little bit of a wild card. If it keeps on following through to the upside and closes halfway okay, it's no big deal. But as always on a Friday, everyone's kind of nervous about a really bad close.
Commodity broker Gordy Kolovets.